Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I personally this evening am so grateful that we live in a free country. I thank you and I praise your name that our country was built upon the principles that are found in your word. And Father, even though we have degraded so much over the last 200 years, I thank you for the freedom we have, even this evening, to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that our time we spend this evening would be for your honor and for your glory. Father, as I consider the last 200 years that our country has been a nation, Father, my heart is burdened for those that do not know you in a personal way through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that even this evening, some people would come to know you in a personal way. I thank you and I praise you for what you will accomplish in our lives as we trust you. In Christ's precious name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Today marks the 200th anniversary of our nation's birth. We've gathered together this evening to celebrate our nation's heritage. We've gathered together this evening to beseech God to bring our nation to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. We as a choir this evening will sing songs and hymns of praise, of patriotism, and of petition to God for our nation. You found in your worship folder as you came in this evening some blue pages, and those blue pages have on them the words of every song that we will sing. I would ask you, please, while we sing, look at those words that are before you. Don't pay that much attention to us as a choir. We're simply here tonight as God's vessel. I would encourage you to look at those words because God will bless you and is blessing you right now as a result of looking to see what He has for you this evening. We'd like to begin by singing a medley about our nation's heritage. This is my country, America, America the beautiful, and God of our fathers.
in beauty of the starry band of shining clouds in splendor through the skies. Our grateful songs before thy throne arise.
A hymn that was written on behalf of our country many years ago, more than 100 years ago, was once entitled John Brown's Body. Since that time, a woman by the name of, I still have to try to remember her name, choir, Julia Ward Howe, has rewritten some words which has caused us to realize God and His truth remaining steadfast throughout. We'd like to sing for you the tune that was written by William Steffi, an arrangement by Peter J. Wilhowsky of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God made a promise to Israel, which the Holy Spirit is renewing today to the hearts of God's people in many nations. We've come to begin fulfilling God's conditions for that promise of a great awakening and healing in our land. God says, if my people which are called by my name will pray. He doesn't expect the ungodly to pray, but he does hold his people responsible. Who are God's people? You are, all of you who have received Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior and your Lord. The Bible says in John 1:12, to as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. And since we are sons of God, we are all members of His beautiful family. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. Sing it together. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. Let's sing it again. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. Sister Donna, sing it for us.
We are washed. We are sanctified. We are cleansed by the blood. We are born of the Spirit. We are children of the Lord.
Let's sing it together.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. we are one.
Brother Dad,
we are members of his body. We are objects of his love. We are partakers of his holiness. We are citizens of heaven above.
Sister Nancy.
We're partakers of his suffering. We're partakers of his grace. We shall be changed to be like him when we see him face to face.
Let's all sing it together.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one.
Brother Tim.
We are longing for his coming. We are looking to the skies. We are watching, we are waiting. We shall fly with him, we shall rise.
Sister Alice.
We shall reign with him forever. Men and angels shall then sing. All dominion shall be given to the family.
Let's sing it together.
We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are family. We are
okay then, family, let's stand up and greet somebody beside you, shake hands with them, and tell them that Jesus loves them. If my people will humble themselves and pray. The Bible says God sets himself against the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus told his disciples, "Let him who is greatest among you become as the youngest or the least, and him who is the chief and leader as one who serves." Let Jesus be our example in humility, who, though he was God, did not demand his rights as God, but laid aside his power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even unto death on the cross.
Behold the man, wounded and bruised, crowned with thorns. He was despised, rejected. He was despised and rejected. Behold the man. Acquainted with grief, I hid my face from him. I hid my face from him.
silence, bearing my shame. I hid my face from him. I hid my face from him.
We did not know.
Your attention to your worship folder. If you look on the inside, you will find there a few scripture passages that I would like us to take at this time, and we will begin to read them responsively. The scriptures are full of teaching on how God wants His people to praise Him. Let's read the word of the Lord together responsively.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
We praise you, Lord. We praise you.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Sing unto Him with instruments of music. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. And let all the people say,
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice, sing praises. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice, sing praises. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
You've heard it once. Now let's see if we can sing it together, all right?
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoicing praises. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoicing praises. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Now the choir would like to do this in a four-part round, so that all the time you're going to be hearing someone either sing, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," or someone will be singing, "Make a loud noise, praise the Lord." We're going to do it for you in a four-part round. The Lord says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." He will show us the unholy things in our lives if we ask Him to. And by the cleansing blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, God will make us a holy people.
You shall be holy unto me. I, the Lord, am holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy.
Let us try it.
You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy.
And you shall sanctify yourselves,
and be holy, for I am holy.
And you shall sanctify yourselves,
and be holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. And I have set you from other people, and you should be mine. From other people, that you should be holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy.
I'd draw your attention to the words that you have before you on the song that we will sing as our last number. Lord, achieve your holy purpose. Wake your church to intercede. All across this darkening nation, bid your people humbly plead. As we consider where our nation has gone in the last 200 years, as far as our technological advances are concerned, it's been fantastic. As far as our moral state has concerned, it has degraded abominably. And we consider ourselves today, what would God have me to do? Where do I fit in? What's going to happen to our nation eventually? Pastor talks to us constantly, even this morning from Philippians, to make our lives count for him, to be effective in our outreach to other people. Lord, achieve your holy purpose. Is that really what we want as individuals? Do we really want God to achieve his holy purpose? I really ask you, please pay attention to the words of this song as we sing. You can find yourself as we are singing, becoming involved so much that you yourselves echo those words in your own heart. Oh, Lord, I beseech you on behalf of our nation, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Stand up.
I will assume that that applause was for the Lord and for our country as a nation. Would you take out the little tract that you found in your worship folder as you came in? It's entitled, From Sea to Shining Sea. We all know this particular tune, and we're probably familiar as well with some of the words. However, these words have been changed. They were written by May Probst, who is an individual who wanted us to consider God and the Lord Jesus by singing this patriotic hymn. I would like us to stand together and sing all five stanzas of this particular hymn. While we're singing, if those of you men who are involved as deacons and elders who are serving communion, if you would come down at this time and take your places. Let's sing together, From Sea to Shining Sea.
Still beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, still purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. But Lord, our hearts no longer see your scepter. And built on sinking sand. Yet, Lord, in mercy still you wait to hear our contrite call. For you can only bless our land as we give you our all. Then help us to confess our sin and leave our wicked ways, to humbly seek your face in prayer and serve you all our days. This country's sin is ours, O God, your judgment duly earned. For we have worshipped gods of gold and your commandments spurned. But now, O Lord, we seek your face and in your mercy trust. Forgive our sins and heal our land. Remember, we are dust. Our leaders, Father, need your light. In mercy, stretch your hand to guide us through the trackless night and save our perilled land. America, America, may God your faith restore, till Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are praised from shore to shore. Oh, cleanse and sanctify this land, your name keep ever here. As we acknowledge you, our Lord, in reverential fear, America, America, see God on bended knee, till Jesus Christ is lifted up from sea to shining sea.
Let's bow, shall we, for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, our hearts have been moved and stirred, and tears come to our eyes. as we think of the great heritage that we have in this land of ours, how we're thrilled. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing that we can gather here with heads bowed and eyes closed and no guards at the door, no fear of anyone interfering with that which we feel before you is right. Thank you, Lord. How privileged we are. But Lord, our freedoms are in jeopardy because men are enslaving themselves to their own lust and their own desire. And Lord, we do pray for this land. And we pray that your people, which are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked way. And we have the assurance and the promise from your word that then will you hear from heaven. You'll forgive their sin, and you'll bring healing to the land. We know, Father, that if revival is to come to this nation, it must begin with us as individuals, with we as a local church. And so, God, we pray that you will send that spirit of revival into our very midst. May Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, be honored and glorified. We'll praise you for that. In Christ's precious name, amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, as Valley Church, is this on? There we are. As Valley Church was founded by some very faithful and godly men, they chose as the church motto that in all things He, Christ, might have the preeminence. And I think it's altogether fitting that we gather tonight on this day where we are celebrating the birthday of our country, that we gather around this table to celebrate also the fact that Jesus Christ came and gave His life for us. I think you all realize that if it were not for Jesus Christ, we would not know anything about freedom or liberty at all. In the 8th chapter of John, there are two verses that are very interesting. The first verse, I believe verse 32, says that the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that verse is probably on the cornerstone of some building on practically every college campus in the country. Unfortunately, men today have warped the meaning of what truth is, and as a result, they don't really understand the meaning of liberty either. But then a few verses later, it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a lot of Americans today that believe that they're free, but they really don't know the meaning of freedom. Oh yes, we enjoy the freedoms in this land, and how I praise God for that. It's interesting because in between the verse 32 and verse 36, there is a sequence there, for when Christ said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, the Pharisees that stood there said, free? What do you mean free? We're free. A lot like Americans, I think, except not quite like Americans, because you see, they were at that time under a dictatorship. They were in bondage to Rome, and they were in bondage to the law. They were bound by having to keep the Old Testament law and all of the ritual and the sacrifice that was involved there, those things which the book of Hebrews tells us could never atone for sin. They could temporarily, I should say, they could never take away sin. They could atone for sin, temporarily cover it, but they couldn't take it away. And you see, they were wrong when they said we've never been in bondage to any man. They were in bondage to Rome, and they were in bondage to the law. But more than that, they were in bondage to Satan, and they were in bondage to sin, and they were in bondage to self. They were not free men. And you see, the point of that passage is that there was only one that could redeem them. There was only one that could set them free, and that was one that was free. And that would mean that one would have to be a free-born individual. And there had never been a free-born individual. No one had ever been born since Adam was created who was born without an old sin nature. No one was ever born who had been born without being under the bondage of sin and Satan, except Jesus Christ. And the object was this, that in a household, you have slaves that could never redeem themselves. But in the household, you have a son that is born, and he is born free because his father, if you please, is the slaveholder. And because he is born free, he is the one that has the right to redeem others. And so the 36th verse then goes on to say, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now unfortunately, in this land of liberty, we have a lot of people who are free. That is, they are free because they live in a free country. The meaning of liberty to them is that they are not in bondage to some other country. They have no dictatorship over them. But is that really freedom? Is it really freedom when an individual, free as he may be in his country, if that individual cannot do the things that are right because he has no power to do them, but rather finds himself controlled by a higher power, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air? This one, Satan, has total and complete dominion and has men in slavery today. And though they're free in this land, they are not free individuals. They're in bondage. But Jesus Christ is the Son. And the marvelous thing is that he, being the Son, has the power, because he is free, to make others free. The marvelous thing, too, is that the price of setting us free meant, in this case, that the Son had to pay the supreme price, had to give his life. When we gather around this table, my friend, we are celebrating freedom. Because I don't know about you, but I know in my own life that the first real taste of freedom that I ever had was when I knelt by my mother's knee and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I'm so glad he set me free. There's a song, rather peppy song and not really in keeping with this moment that is so tender, but the song itself has words that really speak. It goes, I'm so glad that Jesus rescued me. Are you glad tonight that Jesus Christ set you free? See, the word redemption means to buy out of the slave market. Satan had us up for auction, and he was going to sell us out cheap. We were nothing but a slave. Jesus Christ bought us and then set us free. In the days of slavery in the South, a memory that really is a blotch upon this country of ours, and yet many great stories came out of those days that illustrate biblical truth. There was a black man on the auction block, and because of his physique and his strength and his spirit, which had not yet been broken, obviously, because he pulled at the chains and shouted, I refuse to be in bondage to any man. The bidding went quite high, and one man in particular kept bidding. No matter who else might bid, he would bid and continue to bid and continue to bid. Until finally, no one could outbid him, and he paid this huge price for this man. And the man, through clenched teeth and clenched fists, said, "I will never, never, never serve you." The man took the shackles from his arm and from his feet and said, "I didn't buy you to enslave you. I bought you to set you free. You're free. You're free." And this black man, with tears coursing down his face, knelt at the feet of his new master and said, "Sir, I will serve you with my whole life." What changed his attitude? A free man is a grateful man. We're free in this country. God help us to be grateful. But God help us to be more grateful that the Son has made us free. And because of that, we are free indeed. Free from the bondage of sin. Free, if you please, to serve a new master. And I bow at his feet and say, "My Lord and my God, I will serve you forever."